Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, thank you so much for staying with us. And you remember that we started the profile interviews with these amazing women. And we couldn't do this. You will not believe who we have in studio today. And really has graced us with her presence in the flesh in studio as we celebrate Women's Month. And today, I want to welcome into studio Kaz Naidu. Hello and welcome.
It's so good to be here. I love Kaya. I love being here. I feel like I come home.
Well, you are home.
Welcome. I am home. And it's lovely to see you again.
It is absolutely lovely to have you here. Yeah. When was the last time you were behind the radio microphone?
I'm
always behind
think.
The mic, but the radio microphone.
Yeah, I finished up on radio in, I think, 2017, 2018. But I was in an Uber the other day, coming back from Cape Town, and I took a call and the Uber driver turned around and he said, Kaz Naidu. I know that voice. And he's an absolute radio head. He knew everyone, all the contemporaries. He told me the stations he listened to. And I just said to him, wow. Once a radio head, always a radio head.
There's something about radio, isn't there? There's something...
It allows you peace with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. TV is a little bit more manufactured.
Absolutely. And
radio.
And mirrors.
Yeah, it allows you just to be yourself.
Yeah. So you have sort of almost done that, what I would think is a 360 in sport, in the sport that you love, and you've been allowed space to kind of tap into administration, into comms, into journalism, into... It's just really been a gift. That's just my perception of what has been your career. Do you see it that way?
It's a nice description. I like that. I love full circles. Yeah. And I just get a sense that in the last few years, I've been blessed with full circle moments.
Mm.
I was speaking to your producer outside and I said, you know, my best successes came in my 40s.
I would say so.
And the thing is, I wasn't even looking for it. I remember in 2019 saying to my husband, I've had over 15 years doing this. This is amazing. I think I should be okay to move on. And once I accepted it, I got my biggest offers from around the world.
Really?
Biggest offers.
So was it because you expressed that you were moving on, or they just came because you decided you're going to move on?
That's it.
Really? That's amazing.
And it was interesting because it was a big call, right? It was the call from Sky. And once Sky saw me, SuperSport then said yes. Then ICC called.
Like,
and
okay.
It was just like, okay,
let me just
hang
think
on.
About it. I'll call you back.
I think it's also so important, and why I love this part of my story is so often they're like, oh, there's an end point for women. You lose, you're not pretty enough for TV, mm-hmm. you're not this, your kids need you, mm-hmm. you're going to have to make the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say to people, it's an extreme sport, my life. I know that. And I fall off the bike every now and again. I drop a few balls. But I like the excitement of it because there are times I choose specifically to be home, like now with mm-hmm. my children.
Mm-hmm.
And in a few weeks' time, I will have to jet off to another tournament. But it allows you to consciously make these decisions and be okay and very fulfilled with yourself.
So what was the plan? What had you thought and visualized your career's path to be like?
Firstly, I felt really fulfilled with my contribution to cricket and what cricket had given me. So that was a nice place to be.
Yeah.
But G-Sport needed me, and I knew that. And we had obviously just signed Momentum, and I was like, yes, naming rights partner for the awards, we've got it. And then I was prepared to leave cricket. So there was this like endings and beginnings.
Yes.
And I love endings and beginnings because it you know, that chill yeah. down your spine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly the cricket thing came up again. We had to really sit down and go, do you really want to go international? Because it was never really my dream. I just wanted to unite South Africans through cricket. But now as I go to Sky and launch the 100 with Sky Sport, first I thought it was a joke because the guy had DM'd me. I had to go check him out on LinkedIn. He was the right person. But, you know, just the lesson to us women. I've got a friend in her 60s and she said, girl, you haven't even started yet. And so I am loving this period in my life where nothing is set in stone. I can say yes or I can say no. And I can be very fulfilled with whatever decision I make.
So I want to talk about G-Sport. For me, an iconic moment in your career. Maybe it doesn't feel like it because it's a slog.
How do you know, and who have you been talking to?
I totally get it. I totally get the fact that by the time we see the cameras and the pretty pictures, so much has gone into it. People have no idea actually what has gone into it. The pain, and maybe sometimes you deciding, not anymore. What was I thinking? Bad idea. I should have just kept a job. That's the thing. I totally get it. But I think for me, really an iconic moment. When was that moment for you personally when you thought, this is what I need to do, this is what this country needs, this is what women in sport need?
It was on radio. I was hosting a show on SAFM, and every story with a woman in sport was a story of struggle, and I just wanted to celebrate her. And she just wasn't giving me the moment, and it was the moment interviewing Nathalie Du Toit where I realized we're not moving anywhere. Mm-hmm. Something needs to give. And I felt that I was swimming in it, right? My profile was at the highest it's ever been. And I thought, why not share the spotlight? Mm. Why not bring everyone together? I didn't quite know what it was going to be like. And thankfully, my husband, Ray, who's in studio, was crazy enough to have this dream with me that we have to do something. So we went on this long hike and we both kind of turned to each other and we said, there is no information in women's sport. That is why the media don't support it. So his background in IT law, my background in journalism, we put it together. We learned how to build a website, and we started telling the story of women's sport. Hmm. Now in 2024, it's a fully staffed, fully paid women's sport newsroom led and run by women. So I didn't envisage that was going to be it. In fact, to be honest with you,
You've got to repeat that, because you know there are media houses that are closing down.
There are media houses that are closing down. That's the reason why I love running G-Sport, because it's only this year when we turned 18 that we kind of looked at each other and we realized we have become an employment and skills initiative. Now I sit here at 46 looking back at all the people that have helped me in my career. John Robbie, Jenny Chris Williams, Melinda Lombard, and I just go through the list of people. And had they not handed over their skills to me, I wouldn't be here. So every time I come home from a World Cup or a world event, I say to my husband, I am going out to seek women and to give them the skills they need and to share as much as possible, because the gap between us and global is us. Mm. We are standing in our own way. And you know, people talk about transformation in this country and diversity and inclusion. It's about action. Take action, equip people, give them the opportunity, and pay them. I often say to people, don't come to G-Sport and offer us pro bono. We don't do pro bono. Unless you're a volunteer. But if you have skills, then we should be valuing that skill, paying for it. And that's why sponsors are so important. Mm-hmm. Because when the sponsors are sponsoring the initiative, we can pay. And so I often say to the sponsors, thank you for keeping women employed.
So someone earlier on was asking me about what G-Sport is.
Is it a fragrance? And I didn't, or what is it? Someone asked me.
And I didn't want to be literal. And I said, well, it's a platform that sees women in sport.
Wow. Remember that. That's a catch line. I might have to tag you on that and say you gave it to me. It's a platform that sees women in sport. How true. You know, we have the awards. I've got to send you an invite. You have to come.
I will come.
Because you will cry. You'll cry all night.
I've seen them. And I think I remember a year when you celebrated Desiree Ellis.
Oh.
And for me, it was like a no-brainer, right? And you knew that it was a no-brainer. Yeah. But the bizarre notion that no one else has been, you understand what I'm saying? That nobody else was doing it was the most bizarre thing.
We're getting these aha moments at the initiative at the moment, and one of it was the other day. We started counting the number of Olympians in Paris who had won on the Momentum G-Sport Awards stage.
Oh.
Tatiana Smith.
Oh.
Caitlin Ruiz-Krantz. Mm. Rugail Joseph. Mm. Prudence Sekhodiso was a finalist. We see women in sport because every day we're interested in your story. Mm. And that's why the newsroom, I'm obsessed with it. I always say to the girls, it's our vision board.
Yep. Yes.
Every time you update, I'm updated.
Mm.
And yes, media houses are closing down and we're getting some of the saddest emails.
Sure.
I need a job. Can you help me? And some of them are so skilled. And I just wish I could do more. And that's why I've said, if there's one thing we want to become, is a fully capacitated initiative that allows women in sport to be gainfully employed.
And look, I mean, we're celebrating this moment, but it was almost for me not even something that was nice to have. It was a necessity. Because the discussions and the issues that you raise are difficult and oftentimes have... How long is the sports bulletin? What, 2 minutes? Not even, sometimes.
If you're lucky.
So if you're lucky, huh?
Yeah.
If you're lucky. And in there, they'll throw in... Bah, 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 and then the woman didn't get paid. And they're like it's a throwaway half a sentence. Yeah. It's not even a full breath of a sentence where someone takes in that women are fighting to get paid the same amount of money. No, you know, the reporter, not because it's intentional, doesn't even pause to take that in. It's just like, oh, no, Tatiana won't be getting the same amount of money. And it's gone. And we move right along. But you are the cold face of seeing the truth and the reality of what women are facing in sport. They give in the same effort. They are discriminated against. We've seen it over and over again. We saw it with... Our own athletes. We saw it even this time at the Olympics. We see the money is not the same. The recognition, sponsorships are not the same. Airtime is not the same. Beyond what you do, what does that do for you?
It teaches me to be a better woman. It teaches me to be a better supporter of women. Society doesn't allow us to support each other because there's always only a spot for one woman on the board.
Yeah.
There's a spot for one woman on the breakfast show or one woman to do something. So there's never a, let's all do it together. I take my hat off to the International Cricket Council because we were in the Caribbean for the Men's T20 World Cup and there were women on all crews.
Oh, lovely.
And it wasn't just one or two, it was more than four, and we kind of all chuckled a bit like, this is quite nice. It's not nice to be the one and the only,
yes,
but it feels good when that door keeps revolving and more talent comes through. I also have a daughter, so she loves seeing me surrounded by my friends at the G-Sport Awards. So she always says, I like how you all call each other babe. And what it is, it's a sisterhood that is really active in supporting each other. Want to help each other, want to be better voiceover artists. When I see each other, when I see the way they help each other at the awards, I realize that the competition is good, but it's not fierce enough to keep each other out. And I feel that industries need to start saying more women, not just one woman. More women, because I think leadership in sport in South Africa can do with more women in leadership in the boardroom.
How do we get that to happen?
We start at grassroots level. We get to districts. We then get to regional. We get to provincial. We can't always look at the SAFA NEC and say there aren't any women there. But where are we blooding the leaders? I remember being at Cricket South Africa, and it was four of the most profound years of my life because I learned so much about how to transform the game, how to pick fights for the good of cricket, but also to realize that it's all about the people. It's about the masses that support the game. And if we can't keep making strong decisions, so every time I see a woman in a boardroom, I see strength. And I really urge South African sporting bodies to start investing in women in leadership. There are many women leaders out there. They're just not getting the opportunity to use their voices.
And why is it so hard for business to support women in sport? The sponsorships that you speak of. What's the problem?
It's how you see women's sport. So some sponsors still see it as CSI. So it still sits in that CSI pot. And they go, oh,
crazy.
She's good, hey? And that's nice. But would you get a hamper together for, oh, it's lovely.
Sure.
And it is nice because maybe it's a nice hamper and maybe it has a phone in it. But then you get sponsors that pay athletes retainers. You look at someone like Hotatsu Monchane, one of my favorite athletes of all time. In 2018, KG and I were sitting and having lunch and we were just saying, there's no sponsors for you. What do we do? Lebo Motsoaledi introduced her to Emmy Kasaleti-Bwalya, and now 6 years later, KG is one of the most sponsored athletes in South Africa. Not women athletes, one of the most sponsored athletes. Why? Because Emmy saw her as a business. Emmy decided to make a decision that KG is put first at all times. So now when they go to sponsors, there are real sustainable decisions being made in the boardroom to support her. It's the reason she went on to win Wimbledon. Not because someone felt sorry for a disabled or a wheelchair tennis player. It is one of our most celebrated athletes went to Wimbledon and came back with silverware. We were at the airport and I realized we're in the presence of greatness, real greatness. But that is because we take her seriously. Can we take all women seriously? All women in sport seriously?
So it's basically what would be the back office supporting this business and seeing it as a business, not a charity case. Neta, ach nice. Let's give her a little lipstick because she just maybe wants to look nice. It's having and finding someone who, like a trainer in a way, yes, like a coach, who will champion the business in the sports and athletes and the athlete.
There's so much support that's required. I was in Cape Town recently and I called up the Western Province women's cricket team. I said, come, let's spend some time together. I want to talk to you about your brand and getting ready for the world stage. And when I left that trip, I realized how little our teams know about where to go and what to do. And I just wanted to give them a big hug and say, I'm here for you. And this is what you do. And this is how you get an agent. And this is how you tell your story in 30 seconds, because people want to know what your unique selling pitch is. Well, who are you? It doesn't matter that you play cricket well. And if someone had to go tell them that, they're going to charge them.
Yes.
We can't be charging women in sport PR retainers. We can't be doing all that if they're struggling to put food on the table and having to go out to win gold medals. So if you're a brand and you're interested in women's sport and you haven't invested yet, you're already late. Because it's just going to get more and more expensive. Why? Because we're increasing the value in women's sport every single day. I often say that it's a 15-minute meeting, whether it's a good one or not a good one. There's value. We've increased the value in women's sport. This is what it looks like. This is your return on investment. And this is how we cheer for you as a brand. When Momentum came in 2019, it's a cute story. They came for one night only, and they've stayed for 5 years. That's deep commitment.
And what was it? What was it? Did they get it the first time?
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll tell you what it is. It's about having powerful women in the boardroom. So Nonto Kozo Madonsela, she's fierce. She has the saying, hashtag do it afraid. And have we done it afraid? She has pushed us. She has challenged us to own our success. And we have. But she said, I believe in G-Sport. Her team believed in G-Sport. So every year we've become better. We went to India in 2019 and launched the G-Sport Global Chapter because Momentum invested in us. So every time they invested more in the initiative, I invested more in building properties. So now we have a Hall of Fame event the day before the awards. We have the awards and then we have the business breakfast at the JSE for the second year. And what it says is women want to be seen in spaces where money talks.
Yes.
And when you walk into the JSE, I mean, come on. Women in sport turned to each other last year and we were opening markets for the first time.
Wow.
We didn't know what it felt like. We thought, do not stuff it up, okay? And at 9 o'clock, we started fiercely beating the drums. It was a profound moment because this energy was coursing through our veins and we realized we belong in the business side of the world and we will do whatever it takes. I've given up large parts of cricket and things that I could have been doing this year to stay home for G-Sport. That's how you know that's love.
Why was it cricket for you, not any other sport?
Because of a woman, you see? It's because of a woman, a beautiful voice. Donna Simmons from the West Indies was commentating in South Africa in 92-93. And just the way she spoke about cricket made me realize that that's what we were missing in this country, that we had been brought back into international cricket. But there was a whole lot of people that needed to be spoken to directly. And when she spoke directly to me, I wanted to be just like her and do that. And we're still in touch, so we WhatsApp and I got to go to Barbados this year and host the final.
Look at you.
I commentated the final in the home country of Donna Simmons. And again, you know, when I say these full circle moments have just been hitting me so hard.
Yeah.
They've really been hitting me hard. And And it made me realize that it takes one moment to change someone's life, right? I was 14. Had I not walked past the TV at that moment and heard Donna, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about cricket. But cricket's the vehicle. I also realized that I think as women, sometimes it's so important to specialize.
Yes.
To become really brilliant at one thing.
Specific thing.
Because when you become a jack of all trades and they're looking for someone specific, you may just miss it. So often I've said no to things because cricket is kind of where I live and breathe and love what I do. Every now and again, I will try something else. But I think cricket teaches me more and more every day.
And so earlier I asked, was it you didn't know there was going to be G-Sport? You didn't know that you were going to have these huge moments in your career? Did you have a sense of where you thought it would end? Because we always have this, I'll be done by 50. probably by 40, I'm starting to get scared. What kind of in your head did it look like?
It was a hard struggle. I just have to say that.
Yeah.
I paid for it for 6 years, physically paid. So I'd go commentate.
Yeah.
The money would come back and I would pay for G-Sport. And I did that for 6 years.
Sure.
So the first 6 years, I wasn't quite sure, but everyone kind of looked at me like, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm not sure, but I'm not ready to give up. And then when...
Who cares? That's a big thing.
When SPA said yes in 2012, we will be your naming rights partner, we were like, hang on, okay, something's happening. And then in 2015, when Fikile Mbalula said, I'm going to back your awards as the country's National Women's Sport Awards, then we said, we have no choice. I remember Zanele Mdodana said, my leader, there is no way you're stopping this initiative. It's going, it's happening, it's going to happen every year. So even, you know, there was a year where I had no money. I could not do this. And money appeared and I got the awards done. So it's quite a miracle sitting here today saying that we are running a thriving initiative. And I think it's because we got through the hiccups and COVID. Let's not forget COVID.
Of course.
But COVID was... was an interesting period because we were a digital initiative. We suddenly gained incredible relevance.
I imagine.
And in 2020, we were the only awards event, major awards event that we know that actually still took place. So what we did was we tested everyone for COVID. Everyone's clear. We had only 50 people because that was the rules and regulations.
Yes.
And we had to rotate everyone. We pre-recorded it. We put it together. We put it on Supersport as live and we trended on the 31st of August. And obviously the sponsors like, wow. And this is during COVID. But what we created was this absolutely beautiful society that believed that even when the world was shutting down, we didn't let women in sport down.
Hmm.
So they were getting paid prize money. And it was in 2020 that I made a decision. One of my friends, a single mom, had to take a child out of school, stop medical aid. And I could just feel that women were struggling. So I said, yes, we will give work to agencies, but I want to pay women in sport directly. So if you run a small business and you can do something for us, let's start paying. It's harder because you've got to make smaller payments to everybody. But we knew that we were helping save careers and save lives. And it started something that has become very important to us, that we put hundreds of thousands of rand every awards campaign directly into the pockets of single moms, students, unemployed people, because it's not just about being pretty.
Mm-hmm.
We have this thing, hashtag booked and paid. That's what we want for women in sport.
So the question again, it wasn't easy, but where was it going to go?
Did you know? I've never been someone that's been keen on the outcome. I've been keen on my efforts.
Yeah.
And it's been about consistency and not letting the side down. You know, and I speak in Rake's presence, and he hates when I bring his name up. But the reality is, you need an ally.
Yep.
And
a big cheerleader with 10 pom-poms, five in one hand and five in another.
And there isn't a bigger ally than Rake, who has walked this journey with me. To my children, who we often say, G-Sport is the eldest, and Daniel, you're next. They've sacrificed a lot of holidays, a lot of things that perhaps they think they should have gotten, but we've put women's sport first as a family and they see the benefit.
What has it done for you in return?
I've learned to become selfless. I've learned to show my vulnerability, because it's hard. It's hard accepting recognition. I've realized that, especially women. I've had to talk people into Ubers to come fetch their awards because they were too scared that they didn't deserve it. I can write a book about how sad these awards make me because how little women feel about themselves. But every time I finish the awards, I'm extremely grateful that we can grow the sisterhood, we can grow the community, and that women who never thought that they belong suddenly have found a home.
I was going to ask you about that because generally the journey of an athlete is a very lonely one.
Yes.
You train alone. You really are on your own. Even in your family, you're on your own. Everybody's eating cake. You're not eating cake because, you know, you've got a goal and so on and so on. The sacrifices where nobody understands what on earth are you doing this for. Mm. They haven't seen anyone in the family do what you do. There's no other reference, you know, and you are crazy trying to do this thing. And I just want to hear from you when you see those women feeling being seen or realizing, well, someone's been watching while I was carrying on. What do you see in them?
You know, seeing one of the decisions we made after 2019, and again, getting a naming rights partner helps because there's funding. We had athletes coming onto stage winning in chinos and green blazers. Nontokozo turned and she looked at me, and I knew what the question was, and I remembered saying to her, this won't happen again. And from 2020, we dress everyone in A-list gowns. We hire 12 makeup artists, and everyone looks like a beauty queen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you come from. So when I see them powerfully in their success on the red carpet, I see the ultimate vision of who they want to be.
Mm.
So it's lashes and everything. We always say the lashes lead first, right? But it was an amazing story. We have a para swimmer, Nolutando Makalima, who we assumed would be in her wheelchair on the red carpet. So she got into her dress at Justin and I, Josephine, and then she said, I want to walk the red carpet, but I didn't bring my my crutches. So I ran into Discam and I took one out of the display.
Yeah.
And I said, I need that and I'm prepared to pay for it. Yeah. And they were like, no, take it. And when I saw her walk down the red carpet and own her success and tell me what this meant to her, then I knew that we will go around the world and back to make sure that you feel seen, you feel wanted, you realize that you are everything you've meant to be. And after you win on the G-Sport stage, you go on to achieve greater things in your career. That, for me, if you ask me what is the greatest thing of this initiative, is getting the messages. I've become the first women's sports editor at my radio station. Thank you, G-Sport. I'm the first woman to sit on the board. Thank you, G-Sport. So that, for me, says we're a stepping stone to greatness. It doesn't end with G-Sport. It's just the beginning.
And when you do see them come into the airport after you recognize them first, isn't it just like I can't imagine.
No, you're gonna make me cry, really. I've had a couple of emotional moments. Today was one of them. I had the honor of hosting Tatiana Smith's homecoming at her sponsor.
Good Lord.
She didn't know about it. Ah! So she came in for a sponsor meeting. and then, you know, this Discovery building inside, there's just people. And so I'm standing there right at the bottom and I announce her name and she's got to come down. And Pamela, I've never been more emotional in the 18 years I've run G-Sport. She just came on stage and she was just crying. And then they had KB Motsilanyane sing the national anthem. And Tatiana burst into tears. What she said was, and it really touched me, she said, I stand on the podium and I sing the anthem and I sing it for South Africa. And today I'm standing here singing with South Africa.
Yes.
It was emotional. Even KB, you could see what that meant to her. So those are the moments we live for. We want brands to open up your buildings, thousands of people to coming out and accept our Olympic gold medalists. This is our greatest Olympian ever. And I think I said to her today, this is a new era. We launched G-Sport with Penny, and now to kind of host this today and realize that she is now the new face, really, of women's sport. Yeah, it's been quite a day. I haven't even taken any of it in yet.
I just thought it's so important to bring you in because it's exactly that. So sometimes we see, as I said, the end result, and people don't know what it takes to build an athlete, to build a career that eventually gets you that kind of that takes a lot. And along the way, you need people like yourself. Not just the parents and the families that rally behind you. You need the next, which is you. And thank you for doing that for our women, because I'm not sure, and I really mean this, without a platform like this, I think we'd be a few steps behind still.
Thank you. But it's quite interesting. You know, every time we progress, we see the gaps and we see more that we have to do. And we turned 18 the other day and we had a cute 18th house party, and we decided to start being more fun and playful because we've been very serious and very heavy. We've carried things for many years, but I'm surrounded by Gen Z at the moment, and all we do is viral TikTok challenges, and we have fun, and they've taught me to see the lighter side of life. I also lost my mom in December, so that just it blew my entire world apart. And yet again, I had to do the rebuilding while living my greatest life, going to World Cups, commentating around the world.
And grieving.
And we've got to grieve and grow and be there for others. So it does help me doing for others that it kind of keeps you occupied. But there are moments in the day where I think, I just want to phone and tell her, and I can't tell her. And I'm finding a lot of people are going through really challenging times at the moment. And G-Sport is the light. It's the light every day. And when I see a story, or I hear a little voice note, or I see something, I just go, that's a new woman on our timeline. It's good to see.
And thanks to you, Kaz Naidi, thank you so much for coming through. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
And onwards and upwards. The day you think of shutting those doors, you better call first.
Well, you better be coming to the awards. I can't wait to see you.
Really appreciate it. We'll certainly be there. Thank you. Kaz Naidi, our profile interview. That will be available on all our platforms. I'll be back with more after this.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.